Thank you so much. Wasn't that great? Yeah, that's the kind of song you just kind of feel like you've worshiped and you've had a great day and it's time to go home. Not on your life. Matthew, the 19th chapter. Matthew chapter 19, as we're going through this great book, we have seen Jesus deal with forgiveness. Anybody, anything, anytime, you should forgive. He's dealt with divorce. He's against it. He has dealt with children. He loves them. And now he is open to all who come. And in Matthew, the 19th chapter, beginning in the 16th verse, "Now behold, one came and said to him, 'Good teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life?' And so he said to him, 'Why do you call me good? No one is good but one, and that is God. But if you want to enter into life, keep the commandments.' And he said to him, 'Well, which ones?' Jesus said, 'You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. Honor your father and your mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself.' And the young man said to him, 'All these things I have kept from my youth. What do I lack?' And Jesus said to him, 'If you want to be perfect, go and sell what you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me.' But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions." And God blesses the reading of his word. Join with me again as we pray. Father, we ask that you would take your word, that you would penetrate our hearts, that you would draw us to Jesus in this moment. And we thank you for this opportunity to be before you. Move in our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, people are coming to Jesus. It's a everyday thing for people. If they see Jesus, they want to get close to Jesus. And this one man comes to Jesus. He's important. He has position. He just wants to get close to Jesus. Mark tells us he falls down before Jesus. He is known by us as the rich young ruler. There are a lot of difference between this young man and Jesus. He has material wealth. Jesus has nowhere to hang his head. He is spiritually bankrupt himself. Jesus is spiritually rich. He has earthly status. He is somebody. Jesus has heavenly status. He was empty with all that he had, and Jesus was full. This story is a tragedy. I wish it had a happy ending, but in what we have, it does not. There's a lot right in what this young man does and in his situation. He does some good things. He came at the right time. He came to the right person. He asked a good question, but when all of that is put together, he makes the wrong decision. Now, before you today, we're going to give you an opportunity to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You'll have that opportunity. If you've not done that, you need to do that. You'll have the opportunity, just as this man had the opportunity. I pray that you will not make the same decision he did. He is the searcher. And maybe you've been searching. Maybe you've been trying to find something to fill your heart. There's something missing in your life. Well, that was this man. He had something missing, something he needed, and he didn't even know what he needed, but there was something that he needed. Mark tells us he ran to Jesus. He knelt down before Jesus. He obviously knew that Jesus had some answers that he needed. In Matthew, we find in other passages, he's a young man. The best time to come to Jesus is when you're young. I encourage you, If you can understand my words, if you can understand that you're a sinner, that you need a Savior, if you can understand that Jesus is that Savior, you can invite Him to be your Savior and Lord. Come when you're young. I was a late bloomer. You know, we have some people that come when they're 5 years old. And we'll have people say, well, nobody can make a decision for Jesus when they're 5 years old. Well, I beg to differ. If a person knows they're lost, if they are smart enough to know that they are a sinner, when you know that you're a sinner and acknowledge that you have sinned, then you can know you need a Savior. And there are five-year-olds that know that. My daughter, Louise, when she was five, listen, we tried to talk her out of it, but she knew what she wanted to do. She was very definite in her decision. And so we've had five-year-olds come to Jesus. As I said, I was a late bloomer. I didn't come till I was eight. When it comes to receiving Jesus, it's not about the person's age. It's about the person of the age. You got to understand that you are lost. You got to understand that your sin makes it that way. Sin is when you disobey God. We have all disobeyed God. When you don't do what He said to do, when you do what He's told you not to do, that is sin. But if you understand that you're a sinner, if you understand that sin makes you lost, you're lost from God. You don't have God's best. You don't have God's future. What you have is a lost life headed in the wrong direction. When you understand that Jesus went to the cross for you. He came, He died for you. The whole reason He was on that tree was because you messed up. He went for you. And you understand that. When you understand that not only did He die there, but He was taken from that cross and He was buried, but He didn't stay in the grave. He rose from the grave, and today He wants to live in your heart and life. He wants to forgive your sins, to apply His blood to pay the debt for your sins so that you can know God and so that you can go to heaven. When you understand all of that, you're ready to be saved. There is no more, I have people that have told me, I hear that, but I'm just not ready. You know, the devil will put that lie in your heart all your days. I talked to a gentleman that was in his mid-90s. He was lost. He knew he was lost. And I shared the gospel, what I just shared with you. And I asked him if he would receive Jesus as his Savior, if he was willing. And he said, I'm not ready. You're in your mid-90s. How long you think you got? I actually said that. There comes a time you just have to take the blinders off. And I wish I could tell you that he changed his mind, but he put up the blinders on that day and, as far as I know, never received Jesus and went into eternity without Him. If you know you're lost and you know Jesus is the Savior, don't wait. Come young. And you may be thinking, well, I missed that opportunity. I'm not young anymore. Now think of it this way. You're not going to get any younger than you are right now. And so right now is the young you need to be to come to Jesus. And you need to come to Jesus this very day. Now, this man was young. This man seemed to have it all. He was wealthy. He had gold. He had property. He was in a great position being rich. I am sure it's fun to be rich. I've heard people say that. I'd like to try it. But not everybody gets to have that privilege. But he was rich. He had great wealth. He was religious. He had tried to keep the laws of God. He probably went to the synagogue or to the temple all the time, On the surface, he looked like he was really good, but you know in his heart, he knew he was really lost. He was a moral man. He was a good person. I have a lot of people that look at good people and they say, anybody's going to go to heaven, they are. That's not how it works. He was good and he was wealthy, but he had missed what was very important. He was good in how he lived. As far as we know, he had not fallen into an immoral life. Even though he had wealth, a lot of people with wealth go down the wrong path. This fellow apparently did not go down that path. He had a life that we would call clean living. But he's searching. He knows there's something missing. My friend, do you know something's missing? It's an important thing. God lets you know that something's missing. He's just existing. He's not really living. Today we often think money can buy everything. That is not true. Money can buy you food, but it can't get you an appetite. Money can buy a bed, but it can't buy sleep. Money can buy a house, but it can't buy a home. Money can buy a diamond, but it can't buy love. Money can buy vitamins, but it can't buy health. This man, who seemed to have it all, did not have the main thing that makes life enjoyable, that makes life worthwhile. But he comes to the right place. He comes to Jesus. Can I beg you, come to Jesus? That is where you need to go. The searching of your heart will not be filled till you come to Jesus. Look at his question. He has a pretty good question. Not perfect, it's a good question. What good thing must I do that I may have eternal life? He's got a desire to go to heaven. That's normal. You know, most people want to know where they're going to live. Most people want to know where they're going to lay their head at night. Most people want to know that. And most people, when they think about it, they want to know what happens to them after they die. And if you ever hear of a place called hell and the torment of hell, and you hear of a place called heaven and the joy and comfort of heaven, it would not take a brain to choose which one you would want to be in. And so what must I do? How can I check off the boxes so I can go to this place and have eternal life? I'm just existing. I'm not living. How do I get real life? He's got a desire to go to heaven. He wants everything to be okay. He knows he will not live forever. He's smart in some ways. He knows there's some things he does not know. And by the fact of how he comes to Jesus, he's smart enough to know that Jesus understands what he needs. Many people think they're an expert on everything. Well, my friend, you may think you've got it figured out. You may think you're not a bad person, and you may not be. You know what our gauge usually is? If we can find somebody that is worse than us, we think we're okay. And if you look, you can probably find somebody you think that's worse than you. Some of you have to look harder than others. But just because someone messes up more than you have messed up doesn't erase your mess up. It is not what gets you to heaven. Many make their own way to heaven. They think if I do some good things, if I check off the boxes, if I'm not too bad, I'll go to heaven. That's just not what the Bible says. And the Bible is the only book that has those answers. This man has a good question, but it is built on a false premise. He wants to know what he can do. You want to know what you can do to go to heaven? Nothing. There's nothing you can do. You cannot do one thing that will erase one sin, and you've messed up more than once. Don't look at me like you haven't. You have. I certainly have. Your good actions could never be enough to erase one sin. Even one. Jesus had to shed his perfect blood for you. Romans 6:23 says, "The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." If you want eternal life, if you want to be forgiven, if you want heaven, you've got to come to Jesus. There is no other way. He is the only one, and you must come to him. It's not enough to do good stuff. A lot of people do good stuff. Just think about this. Jesus is God. He comes to earth. He lives as a man. He suffers all the anguish and rejection. He is despised and rejected. He is hung on a cross. And he does it willingly. And he sheds his blood willingly. Would he have done that if you could do something and get to heaven? Would the Father God have let Jesus go to the cross if all you had was to do something, to check off a box or two, and you would go to heaven? No, my friend, you can't do anything. Listen, there are people that say, well, you got to have Jesus and you got to do this, this, and this. No, no, no. That says what Jesus did is not enough. What Jesus did is what you need. What Jesus did is all you need. Jesus is the Savior. Jesus examines this young man's belief. The young man approaches Jesus as the good teacher. Jesus says, "Why do you call me good?" Jesus kind of messing with his mind a little bit. There is only one that is good. You know, only God is good. You can't call me good if you can't call me God. That's what Jesus is saying. He's saying, you need to know who I am. And if you can't call me God, you can't have eternal life. You can't have heaven. You can't have the life that I want for you here. If Jesus was not God, then Jesus was a liar and he was not good. If Jesus was not God, then he can't be the Savior, and there is no hope for us as sinners. You can't be neutral about him. You can try to put the question off, but you can't put the question off. There comes a day of judgment. When will that be? Well, when you die. When will that be? Talk to an insurance agent, he'll tell you. The reality is, unless Jesus comes in glory and we ascend to be with him because we are believers, everybody will die, Christians and non-Christians. And those that die without Jesus face a judgment and an eternity that you do not want. This man wants to know, what do I need to do? And so Jesus gives him some commandments. He rattles off six commandments. They had to do with man's relationship to man. The first four had to do with his relationship with God. The young man, boy, he's so full of himself. I've kept all of those since I was a little boy. Yeah, not so much. He was mistaken. He may have kept things on the surface, but remember, Jesus says, if you transgress these laws in your mind, you've broken them. The reality is most of us have broken most of them, if not all. The law was not given so that we could check off the boxes and go to heaven. The law was given so we would know we've messed up, we need a Savior. And so Jesus is trying to lead him toward that point. If he truly understood the purpose of the law, he would know he's a sinner, and he would know he's got to have a Savior, and he would be willing to put Jesus first. And so now we have the solution. Verse 21, if you would be perfect, Mark says Jesus, beholding him, loved him. Let me tell you something. Jesus loves you. I don't know why. Some of you are Georgia fans. Some of you are Auburn fans. You know, some of you have Tennessee in your cheering world. And yeah, some of you are even Alabama fans. I got news for you. God loves you in spite of all of that. God loves you so much, and Jesus loved this man so much. He wants him to make the right decision. He wants him to move in his heart and mind and put God first. Beholding him, he says, beholding him. In the Greek, that means he was looking through him. When I was a wee lad of a boy, you could get special glasses. You could get them out of the back of a comic book, and they were X-ray lenses. And you could put those on, that's what it said, you could put them on and see right through people. They didn't work. You know, Jesus can see right through you. He knows what you really are. He knows what you really want. He knows what you really need. He knows that you are a sinner. He knows that you need a Savior, and he was willing to come for that purpose. John 3:17 says, God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved. You know, God doesn't want to put you down. God wants to lift you up. God's desire is for you. Jesus saw what this man could be. He sees how you could be. I don't care what age you are, you could be better than you are, and you could have influence with those that need to see you walking with him. Jesus says, one thing you lack. See, he knows the young man. He knows his problem. You ever gone to the dentist, and the dentist tries to find the tooth you have a problem with? And he takes his little metal instrument and he taps on your teeth. Now, if you've never had this experience, just wait. When he taps on a tooth, it's okay, no problem. But when he hits the right tooth, you almost come out of the chair. Because that tooth is a problem. Well, Jesus hits the right tooth on this young man. He says, if you want to come to God, if you want to know life eternal, if you want to be perfect, you need to sell all you got. Now, I want you to understand, he's not telling everybody, sell all you got. But he knows this young man's problem is he has stuff in front of God. And things, his wealth has become more important to him than God is. The only way you get to come to God is getting anything that you worship out of the way. He worshiped his stuff. What are you worshiping? Listen, if anything is in front of Jesus, you need to get it out of the way. You need to push it to the side. And so Jesus knew that this man was not going to be able to follow him, not going to be able to surrender to him until he got rid of his idol, and his idol was his wealth. I don't know what your idol is, but whatever you've got in front of Jesus, you need to put it to the side. John Bunyan said, "Will you have your sins and go to hell, or leave your sins and go to heaven?" Being saved involves repentance, turning from your sins, turning to Jesus. I talked with a young lady just a few days ago, maybe a couple of weeks ago, and we got to the point of, would you like to have Jesus come into your heart and save your soul? And she said, that means I'd have to be good all the time, doesn't it? What she was saying is I got some things I'm doing that I want to hold on to. Yeah, it means you got to get rid of what you're doing that you love more than Jesus. You got to put Jesus first. You got to accept Jesus as your Savior and Lord. Mark says he went away sad. In Matthew, it says he went away sorrowful. But in Mark, the word they use is sad is only used one other place in the Bible. And it is used when Jesus, in Matthew 16, talks about a storm. There was a storm raging in this young man. There may be a storm raging in you. And the only way to get through the storm is to put your attention on Jesus. The only way to have victory is to put your attention on him. There was a sorrow in this man because he wasn't willing to get rid of his idol. He went away sad. As far as I know, he lived sad, he died sad, and my friend, today he is more than sad. For his eternity was not where he desired to go. Now, I hope there was a change in his heart, but we're not told that. So what we don't know about you, you know, is we don't know what's standing between you and Jesus. What we don't know about you is, are you willing to put it aside? Are you willing to ask Jesus to come into your heart and save your soul? If you're searching, there is only one Savior, and the solution to your search is to invite Jesus into your heart. It's not enough to know that he came. It's not enough to know that he died. It's not enough to know that he rose again. You need to know those things. But it's believing it in your heart and accepting him. And we acknowledge him in prayer and invite him to come into our heart and to save our souls. It is my prayer that you will do that today. In fact, you can do that right now, and I pray that you would. If you're in the room, I ask you to come forward. Just say, I want Jesus. We'll pray together. But today, Jesus can come into your heart. Today, Jesus can forgive your sins. Today, Jesus can make you whole, can end your search, and can give you joy, not only for a day, but for all the days and eternity to come. Let's stand together. Father, I ask now that you would move at our hearts. Father, I know that there are individuals in this room, and Father, I know there are individuals listening online, and Father, I know in their hearts they understand something is missing, and they've been searching for you, and now, Father, all they have to do is to put their idols away and accept Jesus. I pray, God, that you would move them to that decision, that they would be willing to say, I want Jesus. They'd be willing to ask Jesus to forgive their sins and to save their soul. And Father, as a result, they would become heaven bound. Move us to decisions we need to make right now in our hearts. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you've not received Jesus but want to, just come say, I want Jesus. We'll pray together. If you're a believer, listen, if you're a believer and maybe you're not where you need to be with the Lord, this is the day to get right. God's got things he wants to do with your life. Let him work in you today. You come as we sing.